Hey, darlings, how are you? And welcome to the Fab Life 101 podcast. I am your host and the founder of the Feminine Art of Balance, Shauna Renee. And this week's lesson is about getting good sleep. All right. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because over the last few months, I've noticed quite a few of my friends are up in the middle of the night on Facebook posting status updates about how they cannot get to sleep or they cannot stay asleep. And I noticed that a good number of them are women who are around 30 or like late 30s, early 40s, some women actually in their 50s. I noticed that many of them are mothers and quite a few of them are professional women who are working outside of the home, as well as entrepreneurial minded women. And because there are so many of them, I need you to know before we go into this that you are not alone if this is something that you're struggling with. It's certainly something that I've struggled with in the past, and I've been able to change quite a few things in my day and nighttime routine to make it much easier to get a full night's sleep. Now, if you're a woman in your 30s or 40s, doctors and researchers recommend that you get about 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Now, I know that can be very difficult to hear and even more difficult to do because obviously now we live in this culture. And I used to be one of these folks. I'm like, while you sleep, I grind. I'll sleep when I'm dead. If you're trying to make anything of yourself, build a business, a career, a family, whatever, you got to be ready to put in the time. And if that means late nights, then so be it. This is so much a part of our culture that the idea of actually getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep can make you feel like you're lazy or not as ambitious as you should be. But the truth is, for women of a certain age, it is so important that we embrace sleep as an important component to not only our wellness routines, but also our business strategies. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of information before I present you with 7 tips. And these are things that I do. These are things that were taught to me to help you get a good night's sleep so that you can be ready to start your day and be more creative and be more alert and aware and also be healthier, physically healthier. So again, around the time that you reach your late 30s and early 40s, which is where most of my friends who are struggling with this issue are right now, things begin to change. Physically, they begin to change. Mentally and emotionally, they begin to change. And then socially, they begin to change as well. So physically, you find that your levels of estrogen and progesterone decrease. Now, both of these contribute to not only your ability to fall asleep. So if you're having issues falling asleep, that could be it. But maybe you can fall right asleep, but you're having trouble staying asleep. Well, that's your estrogen and progesterone levels falling as well. And then here is the kicker. As your estrogen levels decrease, you also become more susceptible to environmental and social stressors, right? So these are things like your increased family and work-related demands, your longer work hours, your longer commutes, the pressure we feel right now to be available 24 hours a day to our clients or to our bosses, and then also having to support our children, and they have their own busy social calendars, and then you're maintaining the home, and then, God, if you're married, you're trying to maintain a man as well. I mean, there's no surprise that it's almost impossible when you lay down for you to shut your brain off so that you can get a good night's sleep. And so it's not just that you can't do it because you don't have the mental strength or capacity to do it. It's because physically, hormonally, things are changing that are making it really difficult as well. Now, let me just say this to you. And again, this is why it is so important that we embrace sleep. And that is because sleep deprivation has been linked to all kinds of nasty things like heart disease, diabetes, depression, obesity, all of which are stressors in and of themselves. So it's like this never ending cycle. Now, when we were in our 20s, and I know many of you are like me, you could stay up all night studying, maybe get a couple of hours, go to class all day. day, or, you know, I remember I used to work like three jobs, and I literally would sleep maybe 4 hours a day. If I slept 4 hours at night, I was feeling refreshed and ready to take on the world. If I get anything less than 6 hours of sleep now, don't even talk to me, because I'm done. I'm spent. So yeah, 7 to 8 hours of sleep is what you should be striving for if you're a woman of a certain age. And by that, I mean over 40. Okay. Now, let me just say before I get into these tips that if you're having some hormonal shifts, if hormonal shifts are your problem, if you're going through menopause or like premenopause, then you need to talk to your doctor, your primary care physician, or you need to talk to your gynecologist, because there's medication. There are things that you can do. There are herbs that you can take. There are supplements that you can take. There's hormone replacement therapy that you might want to consider that will also help you. So if that's where you are, see your doctor, because though these things may help, these things may not be all that you need to consider. All right. So otherwise, like, there are some things that you can do to increase the likelihood of a full night's sleep. And so number one, and I think this is probably the easiest, and this is the duh one, you go to bed earlier. Like, if you know you need to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and you know that you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, then you need to count back 7 or 8 hours and make sure that that is the time that you go to sleep. And that can be very difficult. Again, if you have responsibilities to your children, if, you know, like for example, my son has lacrosse practice, and sometimes we're at lacrosse practice or a lacrosse game till 7 o'clock. And then I'm thinking, God, I got to get him fed. And then we've got to do homework and we've got to do all that. Well, I realize now that if I'm going to be able to function at my optimal level, that I'm going to have to arrange some things, which means that on those nights I may not cook dinner. On those nights I may ask my husband instead to have something ready for us when we get home. That might be, and I hate to say it, please forgive me, but that might be a fast food night, because I need to get my sleep. And that means I'm not going to have the time, the hour, hour and a half, or however long it takes for me to get dinner ready. Those may be the days when I make sure that my son gets his clothes together, like 2 days of clothes together. So if I know we have practice on Thursday, well, then I'm going to say to him on Wednesday night, don't only just get your clothes for Thursday morning together, but get your clothes for Friday morning together as well. So then that way, when we come home on Thursday, all we have to do is shower and go to bed. So you've got to rearrange your schedule so that you can get into bed at the right time. If hubby is poking, and you know, then y'all need to set up a schedule and say, look, boo, I need my 8 hours of sleep. So if we're going to do this, I'm going to need you to get these kids to bed sooner than normal so that we can get this in. And then great, then we all sleep better. But you got to do whatever you have to do. And I'm always telling you, make no apologies. Do not apologize. Be unapologetic for having to do whatever is necessary for you to take care of yourself. Now, those are boundaries. And yes, people will bitch and moan and whine and wonder, and let them do it. They will get over it, because they will realize eventually that if they go along with the plan and you do what you're supposed to do in terms of taking care of yourself, that everyone will be much happier for it. Happy wife, happy life. Nobody's happy unless mama's happy. The world knows this. So they will eventually fall into line. So go to bed earlier. Get to bed on time. Number two, blackout. That means make sure that your room is dark. Turn off all of your lights, close the blinds, pull the curtains. So if you need to, you may need to get some of these blackout curtains. I've gotten some of those for my son's room because he doesn't like the light that comes through. Sometimes the moon is so bright that it makes it really difficult to sleep. So if you're having trouble with that, then yes, you need to make sure your room is pitch black. And that takes us to number three. By pitch black, I mean no light, not even the light that comes off of your cell phones and your digital clocks and your iPads and your computers and all of these, and even your television or your cable box, all of these other things that we have plugged up in our rooms. You need to take the electronics out of your room. Now, I had a woman tell me many, many years ago that your bedroom should really only be used for sleep and sex. Like, that's it. So take the television out. Do not do work in your room. I took my television, the television out of my bedroom when I moved out of my studio apartment, and I must have been about 22 years old, and I did not have a television in my room up until last year. And the only reason I have a television in my room right now is because my husband wants to have a television in the room. But I only agreed to bring the television in the room if we agreed that we would not turn that sucker on after a certain amount of time. We do not go to sleep with the television on. And for those of you who believe that you cannot fall asleep without the television, that's not true. You can fall asleep without the TV. You just don't want to fall asleep without the TV. So you really do have to train yourself to go to sleep in complete and total darkness. Get the cell phones out. And I know that's really difficult. That was a very hard thing for me to do as well, because I'm, especially when I lived alone, I wanted my cell phone by my side just in case something happened and I needed to dial 911. And someone said to me, and they made perfect sense, that if you need to dial 911, you're better off with like some kind of a landline anyway than your cell phone. So get a landline and plug it up. Like if you want to get a what do you call it? I don't even know what you're calling it. Like a wireless phone, right? Or cordless. That's what we used to call it. If you want to get a cordless phone, put the base someplace else, bring the phone into your room, but get the phone out of there. Again, the laptops, the computers, just stop it with all of that. Get all of that stuff out of your room. Even your digital clock. And I have one in my room now. I have what is called a Zen clock, and it is an analog clock, and it wakes me up slowly with chimes, and it doesn't put off any kind of light, so I can get my room completely dark if I need it. The other thing is, this is number four, that is keep your room cool. Keep it cool. Get warm under the blanket. You have a fan, put the fan on. And I know it can be very difficult in the winter because I, for one, love a warm room. But what eventually happens is as you sleep, and especially if you're a woman who is of a certain age, you'll start to get night sweats, and those will wake you up. And waking up in a bed soaking wet with sweat, It makes it very difficult to go back to sleep. I mean, there have been days when I've had to or nights when I've had to get up and literally change my sheets because I just sweated so bad. So now I just keep the room cool. And if I get hot, I can just throw the comforter off of me. And if I get cold again, I can put it back on me. The other thing I am going to suggest that you consider is using aromatherapy. And I love, love, love aromatherapy. And I'm talking about like aromatherapy oils, or now they have these like aromatherapy steam machines where little bursts of steam come out and they smell like whatever it is that you want. I use aromatherapy for any number of things, from meditation to sinus relief to sleep. I would suggest that you do some research on the internet about the best aromatherapy oils, the best scents for going to sleep. I will tell you that the ones I love, it's a combination. I have a combination of lavender and vanilla oil. And those two are really good. If you just put a little bit on your temple, maybe a little bit on a piece of tissue, and you put it underneath your pillow, it works really well. I actually have lavender flowers. My best friend and I, a couple of years ago, went to a lavender farm and we harvested lavender flowers, and they've lasted for now, 2 years? And so I'll every now and again take a few of them and put them in a little pouch and stick that under my pillow. Or sometimes they're strong enough that I can just put them in the room and it smells really good. If you're careful enough and you remember to blow them out before you go to sleep, and I'm not really even comfortable recommending this, so this is only if like you light a candle while you're doing your routine and then you make sure you blow it out before you actually get in a bed. A candle is really good, and I'm talking about like a natural soy candle that uses real essential oils for scent, not just like fake perfumes, but real oils. That helps as well. Another thing that you may want to consider is a noise machine. Now, I know that sounds kind of like counterintuitive, like that doesn't make sense. You're supposed to dark out your room. You're trying to get to sleep. Turn the TV off. Why would you want noise? But a lot of people find it really soothing to go to sleep to sounds of nature, or what we call white noise, which is really hard to describe. It's not really, it's noise, but noise of nothing, really. And some folks like that. I also really love, there's an app called the Insight Timer, and there are quite a number of sleep meditations on there, like meditations to help you go to sleep. And if I really can't calm my mind down, like I've had a really stressful day, or I just know that the next day is going to be super stressful and I keep running through my head all of the things that I need to do, just turning that on and just, and again, I know I'm kind of contradicting myself because you use this app on your phone, but sometimes you just got to do what you have to do. Sometimes just kind of putting that on and listening to that and allowing that to lull me into sleep works. Let's see. What was that? Is that like six? I have one more. I have so many, but I'm going to give you, oh, another one. Get busy. And by busy, I mean have sex. Like seriously. It's something we all do, and it's something that we don't want to talk about. And we all know that it puts you to sleep really well. Now, for some women, sex actually kind of energizes them. So if you're the kind of woman that after having sex kind of wants to get up and do stuff, this might not be good for you. I was that way earlier on in life, now not so much. And that may mean that, you know, you get busy, but you get busy in a slower, kind of more calm, romantic way, as opposed to, you know, swinging off the chandeliers and things. But actually, the release of oxytocin, which is a beautiful chemical that helps us feel all good inside and want to cuddle up and be close to our loved one, that also helps us. It helps lull us into sleep a little bit. And it's actually very healthy for women in general. So I suggest you get busy. Now, you don't have somebody with you. That's okay. Get busy with yourself. That helps. Actually, that probably helps more. To be perfectly honest with you, sometimes they get busy with somebody else, because if you get busy with yourself, then you go to bed by yourself and you don't have to worry about anybody cuddling or snoring or whatever else may happen afterwards. So those are my seven tricks. Oh, I want to share with you this other tip too. Now, I've not tried this one, but someone suggested this to me, and during the conversation, there